Support for Art Talks comes from the Bucktown Center for the Arts at 225 East 2nd Street in downtown Davenport, with 16 independent studios and galleries offering original fine art and gift ideas in one location. Information is at bucktownarts.com. And from the Blue Cat Brew Pub, located in the district of Rock Island, serving food and handcrafted ales and lagers. And from Red Band Coffee Company, local roaster, offering individually prepared coffees, New Orleans-style iced coffee, and whole bean coffee at two locations in Davenport. Information is at redbandcoffee.com.
Well, hello and welcome. You've tuned into a conversation among artists. For the next hour, we'll be exploring the mind and the creativity of our guests. This is Art Talks, and I'm your host, Bruce Carter. Well, a good evening and welcome. Joel Reiser and his son Logan Reiser are our guests today. They've opened up a new place in town called the Hot Glass. It's a place to blow and make glass balls and glass globs and glass furnaces, and it's just marvelous. Joel is, as we all know, from Moline High School. He coached there for 25 years. He was a head coach for 9 years. And he's also the art teacher and head of the art department at Moline High School. Marvelous job. His son, Logan, is more on the entrepreneurial side, but understands glass very well and his work there, too. And they're here to tell us about this marvelous new workshop, this marvelous new place downtown in Davenport on Western Avenue. And Joel and Logan, welcome to our show.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much for having us, Bruce.
Terrific. I remember a couple of July 2nd you opened, and I heard about this thing going up downtown. I went down and I hunted it out, and it's the Davenport Printing Company, but it's right behind it, so you've got to go in the alley. You're right parallel with John O'Donnell Stadium.
Right.
And you walked in, and it's a brand new shop. It's like everything is brand new. It looks marvelous. You've got the furnaces going. You've got the hot box. You've got the water. And there's this long tube to blow. I've never seen that before.
And a lot of loud music.
Right? A lot of loud music.
Got to
yeah.
jam out.
Yeah. It's like you keep the energy, and everybody is That's so right. teamwork. No one's bumping into you because you're carrying this hot load of glass on the end of your stick there. It's just yeah. marvelous. Great story. Yeah. Congratulations for doing this.
Thank
this is
you.
Very,
Thank
very,
you
very, very, very nice. I think this would be a nice time to mention that Joel has won a number of awards for his work. He won the Studs Terkel Award from Illinois, marvelous award. And then he recently won the Lloyd Shoneman Community Impact Award. And then you got an award from the board from Moline High School for being probably an all-around cool guy. I think that's it.
They're rolling in now, you know,
yeah,
and it's
yeah.
good. And I wouldn't be winning those awards without other people's help.
I mean, sure, the team, I'd
definitely,
like to say.
Yes, it definitely took a group effort to make this happen.
Yeah, your linemen and your receivers.
Well, you know, all those years in football make me think about it that way. And it is, I mean, it does take a group effort, and it took a lot of community volunteers and a lot of donations to get that shop up and going.
Tell us the story. What's behind the shop? You worked with Mark for many years.
Yeah, I guess it all started when I retired from coaching football, and we worked with at-risk students and their parents through a grant at Moline High School called Lights On for Learning. And I took the parents and students down there and had them work together on glass blowing projects, because in glass you have to work as a team. So what better way to get better relationships with someone else, as to when you make something together, you've got something positive to talk about. So it kind of creates that positive vibe between two people. And it was good for their relationship. As a student and a parent that really didn't get along very well, now they're doing something fun together. They got something to talk about on the way home, on the way to. So it was a good experience. So we did that a couple years, and it kind of fell apart after 2 years. The shop down in Rock Island kind of fell on some hard times. I think he's going to be up and running again, hopefully. But, Mark's a great artist, a great teacher, we had a really good time down there. But right now it's not open, and so it was a couple years without glass blowing. And we decided to remodel my studio where I worked with clay a lot at home. And my son Logan called me up one morning and he says, stop remodeling that studio. You need to come down to Davenport and see this spot. And so he brought me into the Davenport Printing Company building, and we looked at a couple spots, and then we met the owner, and the owner showed us this one area and says, hey, this is where you want to be.
John Lilliquist definitely had the spot in his building.
Right.
We were picked out, perfect place, and we were just on a bigger scale, and bigger scale and more changed lives that way. So yeah, that was definitely the way to go.
How did you find this place?
I was actually a part of a architectural preservation company called Definity Companies, and we had a space in the basement there, and I've been around the building for years, and I knew of the location and the up-and-coming development in Davenport. And the fact that there's urban renewal in that area is just a number one thing that stands out for why we would want to have such an effort and such a location and an experience downtown Davenport like that.
Mm-hmm. So you're moving out of your garage into this fabulous spot, but right, it was a dump. It was a mess.
Well, yeah. And the biggest thing, I think, was, when you take something like this on, you're talking about maybe $200,000 worth of investment here. And I sure don't make that at Moline High School. So I had to make sure that I had some people on board. And so I was calling people, names like Hunt Harris and Jim Bowman and Larry Anderson and some people that I know in the community that are very well thought of and they're very successful businessmen, and said, hey, I need to make a plan. And how do I want to go about doing this? And so then I went to John Lilliquist, the owner of Davenport Printing, and showed him some glass that I'd blown. I said, hey, this is what we want to do here. And he says, well, okay. He says, I'm willing to work with you, and I'm willing to help fund the improvements that we need to do. And so then I said, okay, great. As long as you're on board, then now I can go and approach other people. So then my first stop was out at Get Industries. A guy named Timmy Edwards owns that, and a friend of mine, Tim Miner, is the general manager of the building and their organization. And I had a meeting with Timmy Edwards and showed him some pictures of some equipment. And in walks my old high school classmate, Tim Miner. Tim Edwards says, he'll take care of you. Hmm. So from then on, I worked with them, and they probably built $80,000 worth of equipment and donated it to our organization.
No kidding.
That's definitely been huge.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
Huge.
And the equipment looked great, and it was brand new and shiny, and furnace was
looks
just
amazing.
Well,
yeah,
it's probably
working.
More industrial than most glass equipment that you would buy from a glass equipment manufacturer. See, Get Industries does a lot of fabrication for John Deere and Alcoa and those big businesses. So they're making real beef, quarter inch thick plate steel, and it's beefy.
Built to last.
So and that was their attitude. Hey, if we're going to help you, we're going to make it nice, and we're going to do it right. So I was very fortunate there. So my next stop was trying to get some electricity in there, and Jeff Lanham from the electric doctor stepped up, and he donated all the electrical, donated the equipment, the labor, everything for the whole building.
Gosh.
Yeah, and that had to be $50,000. They spent a lot of time there. And, we had 4 or 5 of their workers there a lot, and so that rings up quick.
That's not 220. This is...
No, that's 480, three phase, and it's, pretty big stuff. So, and everything's custom wired, everything right where we wanted it, custom designed. And a guy named Steve Nelson kind of headed up the crew, and he's a great guy. But anyway, and then, I needed plumbing. I needed to get my gas lines and stuff run. So Jim Bowman, friend of mine, his older brother just retired from the local 125 from the plumbers union. They got permission to bring up some retired plumbers. They plumbed all of it in for nothing.
Golly.
So I'm getting all this stuff. I mean, I haven't paid. I paid for some, you know, equipment, some supplies, but all the labor's been free and a lot of the other stuff. And so then, you know, we're talking, I got buddy Matt Ostrand, that's a painter. He comes over and helps me do all the painting. Logan and his buddies over there help him build. You know, if you come in hot glass, come in the door, you look to your right, there's a huge board. There's probably over 100 names on there of people that helped with this project. And if it wasn't for them, it wouldn't happen. And if you get on my website, hotglassart.org, you'll see their names. And I owe a lot of it to them. I mean, yeah, I was there all the time, and I was the one, at, you know, I got kind of tired of calling up asking for favors so much, but I got such good response from everyone that, you know, I really didn't feel bad because they knew that what we were doing was going to be special, something that they could be proud of. And that really made it worth it. And believe me, when all those people are in my shop, we've had a couple of openings for people that have donated. When they're in there, you can see them. They all walk up to the part they did and say, yeah, look at this. This is what we made, and this is what we did. Mm. And they're real proud of what they did for it. And so that makes me feel good that they, you know, were proud of what we've done. And then right around Christmas last year, and we had all the equipment, you know, ready to go and had the electrical in there, but we needed to raise like $40,000 to buy the materials and the tools and a furnace, a glass furnace. And so I wrote a grant to the Hubble Waterman Foundation, and they gave me a $20,000 matching grant. So once people in the community found out that Hubble Waterman was behind us, boy, they jumped on. I mean, I had my half raised in a week.
Mm.
And at the time, before I got my own, not me, before our organization got the 501c3, the Community Foundation, the Great River Bend, sponsored my project grant. So they're managing my project fund, so everything was being tax deductible for people, you know. And then Thomas Blade from Moline, an attorney, he wrote my 501c3 for me and got our nonprofit status. So now we're non-for-profit status and we're up and running.
That's great. That's great. What about your rent? What happened there?
Yeah, well, you know, John, the owner of the building, has been great. I mean, we went over a year and just we were in there doing construction, so I don't think we paid much rent. So
working on, you know, the space and yeah, getting everything ready yeah. to go.
Oh, so, that's great.
And he's been great about it. You know, he's working with us. So.
Oh, God. East Moline Glass put in some windows for
you? Oh, yeah, yeah. Larry Anderson, East Moline Glass, he's a very giving man. I mean, he whatever I can do, you know. I mean, I had his boys in football. So, and I had Jeff Lamb's boys in football. So all those years coaching, you know, make those contacts. You know, do good things for other people, they help you out, right?
Huh, people so, still call you coach?
Oh, yeah, they all call me coach. You know, we have a good saying in our place, one by Zig Ziglar. If you help enough people get what they want in life, you can get anything you want in life.
Excellent.
And so that's one of our little mottos in our shop. And it goes to show you that it's true because, you know, we've all helped each other out a lot and we're getting what we want out of it. So
excellent. Oh, gosh, doors are opening for you and contacts. I mean, how many people have passed through your teams and through your classes and now they're adults and they're growing up and
they're all calling me up wanting to buy art and take classes now.
Oh,
all of my former players.
That's great. So you've established the place. It's up and running. The furnaces are blasting. People are walking back and forth. You're making glass. I bought one of your pumpkins last night. What do you do now? I mean, you're going to give lessons. You're going to be at risk for
right,
kids.
Right, right. So one of the biggest things that we do in our organization is work with at-risk youth from the area, the Quad Cities. So at-risk youth, how do you categorize that? Well, it could be low income. It could be minority. But we don't really look at it that way because we're not really a federal institution. We don't have to categorize kids. Almost all kids are at risk. Do they need a boost? Do they need something positive in their life? Do they, you know, I mean, we want to help the kids that are maybe down on their luck, maybe need something positive in their life, help them learn to meet other students that are doing positive things, help them find a new career. And if it's not a career, help them appreciate art. You know, you don't have to do it for a living to appreciate it. But, you know, there's not a lot of kids that can say, hey, I had the chance to blow glass. I mean, that's not offered in any schools around here, and it's only offered at the university level. So we're very fortunate to have this happen here. Now, the whole hot glass thing started with inspiration from a glass artist named Dale Chihuly, out of Seattle, Washington. He's the guy with the eye patch. You see him on the public TV, you know.
He's great.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
funny.
He started a program called Hilltop Artists in Tacoma. And the Hilltop in Tacoma is a place where there's a lot of crime, dropouts, drugs, everything like that. So they started, they built a shop. They told the kids that if they're working for their GED or they're passing their classes in school, they can come in and learn glass blowing. And they also had tutors there for students to get help with their homework and so forth. So I saw that on that show on Sunday
CBS
morning called
morning, yeah.
Yeah, Sunday morning at CBS. Saw a really neat a promotion on that. And I said, hey, someday we're going to do that. Well, last spring, Logan and I went to the Glass Arts Society conference in Chicago, and we got to meet the people that are working at Hilltop, and we got to stand up at a forum and tell our story as well. And so there was organizations from around the country that work with at-risk kids that were telling their stories about what they're doing with that kind of program. So when I got up and spoke, I mentioned to them that I was stealing all their stuff off their website, and they kind of laughed. But I said, hey, if I'm stealing your stuff, it must be pretty good.
Yeah, that's what artists do.
Definitely a really good learning experience. Another thing that's huge is the glass team. And now we can bring these students in, and if they do get the glass bug and they're just really intensely into this artwork, they can actually come in and contribute to the production of our blown glass. We have two students right now, Noah and AJ. They come in and they actually make the stems for our blown glass pumpkins. And they have been just excelling in the program ridiculously. And they get this experience to have structure and have this hobby that, you know, a lot of students would never have the idea of having. And it's really awesome to see them grow through the art and definitely have success.
And it's definitely impacting their grades in school.
Oh, I bet.
I know their counselor, yeah. And their counselor's saying, boy, they're really doing well in school right now.
Self-esteem, problem solving.
Right? A lot of confidence,
all that
too.
Stuff, all confidence, yep. Yeah. Yep. So, Logan, you're from an entrepreneurial point of view. You're in your last year at Drake. You're a businessman major.
Absolutely.
Are you kind of handling all the business affairs of this?
I try to take all the stuff in the background, website, domain names, the name of the business, logos, business plans, marketing, advertising, and you know, as a whole, especially setting up the shop, the collaboration behind setting up a business through the community has absolutely been unreal. And it's obviously taken a lot of blind faith to see that success come through in the end. But when you do, you have confidence in that, and you actually see these real things happening and everything comes together. It's absolutely amazing.
Gosh, and why is it coming together so well?
I mean, when you're doing a program that contributes to the greater community and you want to change lives, it's hard to fail.
Well done. Well done. Well, gosh, here we are, thehotglassart.org. You can follow along. Joel Reiser is with us many years out of Moline High School. His idea man, Logan Reiser here, entrepreneurial. Let's take a break right now, and we'll be right back after this gallery guide.
On exhibit around the WVIK listening area at the Augustana College Art Museum on 7th Avenue in Rock Island through October 25th, A Different Way of Seeing, Swedish Art from the Charters Collection. Hours are noon to 4, Tuesday through Saturday. At the Augustana Treadway Library through November 6th, Captured, Using Insects to Inspire Art. Hours are 7:30 a.m. to midnight, Monday through Thursday. In the Art Space Gallery in Building 4 on the Blackhawk College campus in Moline through October 17th, artwork by Hector Duarte. Hours are 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Saturday. On the St. Ambrose University campus in Davenport in the Galvin Fine Arts Center's Morrissey Gallery through November 14th, paintings by Margaret Babbitt. Hours are 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Friday. In the Kadich Gallery in the Galvin Fine Arts Center through October 24th, bookworks by Brian Borkhart and quilts by Eric Wolfmeyer. Hours are 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. At the Figge Art Museum at 225 West 2nd Street in Davenport through October 26th, Living Proof, works by cancer survivors and patients. Through November 2nd, two Americans in Paris, Stuart Davis and Grant Wood. Through January 4th, African American Art Since 1950, Perspectives from the David D. Driscoll Center. Through January 25th, Against the Grain, Wood Art from the Figge Collection. And through April 30th, A Legacy for Iowa. Hours are 10 to 5 Tuesday through Sunday, 10 to 9 p.m. on Thursdays. At Midcoast at Center Station on River Drive in Moline through the end of November, Digital Works by Lucas Burns. Hours are 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Saturday, 9 to 5 Sunday. At Midcoast Gallery West on 2nd Avenue in Rock Island through the end of October, acrylics by Dan Johnson and jewelry by Monica Shans. Hours are 11:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Wednesday through Saturday. At the Bucktown Center for the Arts on East 2nd Street in Davenport through October, photography by Richard Kluel and Matthew Terry. Hours are Wednesday through Saturday from 11 to 6. At Quad City Arts Gallery on 2nd Avenue in Rock Island through October 24th, Good Enough to Eat, an art buffet. Hours are Tuesday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday 11 to 5. At Quad City Arts at the airport in the Moline International Airport through October 30th, mixed media works by Kimberly Roca, collages by Amber Williams, and stoneware by Dale DeVoki. And that's a look at current exhibits around the WVIK listening area.
And we're back on Art Talks. Joel Reiser and his son Logan Reiser are with us. They've started a hot glass place called hotglassart.org. It's on Western Avenue, right down on River Drive, right off the alley behind the Davenport Printing Company, driving their marvelous new place. Thousands and thousands of dollars worth of equipment was built and donated. Everything's working beautifully. I visited it last night. Marvelous stuff. They're working with young kids. They're working with at-risk kids. And they're doing classes. And they're teaching character development through glass. You taught character development through football and right. through art. So here you are. Again, I remember you coming into the store years ago and talking about going off on a retreat with your
sure.
with your boys, you know. And
yeah.
what a wonderful team spirit that builds.
Right.
That's just a marvelous thing. The community, it's just great, Joel.
That just goes right with glass blowing. I mean, glass blowing is a team game. I mean, most people don't blow glass by themselves. So the Venetian style of working is to work as a team. So you work in basically threes or maybe even more. And so what we like to do is show the kids how they can help each other. Again, that statement about you can help, you can have anything you want in life, you help enough people get what they want. Well, they have to help each other get what they want, and that's that glass piece that they're making. So the person that sits in the middle on the bench is called the gaffer.
Gaffer.
The gaffer is the artist in charge. He barks out the demands of, okay, I need you to go get the door. I need some air. I need you to shield my hand. I'm going to make, they design the piece, what colors they're going to use, what shape they're going to make. And then it's up to them to communicate to their teammates what we need to do to make that happen.
Hmm.
So the gaffer's in charge, and then they usually have two assistants, one on the left and one on the right. So you play for the man on the left and the right, and the guys on the right and the left, you know, help the guy in the middle. And so it's a really neat experience for students in that they have to communicate, and we always talk to them about being polite.
Bark politely.
Yes. Give me some air, please. Can I have the block, please?
A lot of manners.
A lot of manners. We work on that. And a lot of kids these days don't do that. They don't really think about doing the manners thing. So we work with them on how to be polite. I need the door, please. I need this, please. And so when we talk to each other, when we demonstrate, we always end with please.
By example. Very good. Right. Let's talk about the art now. What? How do you make a glass bowl, a glass vase, a glass form? How, what is the process?
Very carefully. It's hot.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, the first thing is the initial gather, and that's very important. You get your blowpipe hot, and you go into this furnace that's over 2,000 degrees. And so it's kind of... you know, it's kind of daunting when you open that door and 2,000 degrees hit you. So you go in there and you put the pipe, the end of the blowpipe, in the molten glass. Our tank holds 175 pounds of glass.
It looked like a clear honey.
Right, right. So you touch the hot blowpipe down there and you turn it, and it's just like turning honey on a honey dipper. Mm-hmm. So the glass sticks to the end of the blowpipe. So as you bring it out, you have to turn it, otherwise it would drip off.
Always
so,
turning.
Always turning, that's the thing. And that's one of the things that we tell the kids is, hey, you always have to turn that pipe. Shouldn't even have to think about it. So then we walk over to this table. And this table is called a marver. And it became about when they used to use marble as the table. So that back in Venetian times and Roman times when they blew glass, they would get hot glass and roll it on a marble top to cool it and form the glass. Okay, if you have to cool the outside edge of the glass so it won't blow out real fast, because if it's real hot and you blow, it'll blow out too thin. So what you do is you form the outside edge of the glass on a steel table.
Like a skin.
Yeah, you cool that off, so then that keeps its form, and then you trap some air in the blowpipe. You blow real hard through the opening, and you put your thumb over it. And when that air is trapped in that space, that air heats up, and it has to find somewhere to go.
And it expands.
So it expands through the end, and it creates a bubble. And that's one of the coolest things that kids learn. Wow, look at that bubble.
Looks like a magic trick.
It does. It looks like a magic trick.
That's how you do it then. I just thought the blowing of it would do it.
You can do it like that, but the old glass blower's trick is to do what they call an air trap. And so, you know, it takes a little while, but even the kids that we just taught have got the air trap down already.
It's like centering clay.
Yeah, yeah.
Same kind.
And so then you have to let that cool, and then you have to add more glass. So every time you add more glass, that's called a gather. Mm-hmm. So you go gather more glass. So we dip the blowpipe into the furnace and twist it around, turn it around, and then gather more glass. And then you can come back to the workbench. And you can use different things to shape that. We use wooden blocks, or we even use newspaper.
Hmm.
One of the most intriguing things and the most surprising things to kids is that I can take wet newspaper and grab that glass with my hand. And I can, and it does, you can't feel it because the newspaper's thick and it's wet. And we can actually take our hand and shape that glass.
Hmm. Literally feels like you have the sun in your palm.
Golly.
It's an eye-opening experience,
right?
Unlike anything else.
And everybody is really apprehensive at first, saying, "You sure I can do this? I don't want to get burnt, you know, and everything." And believe me, we try to be as careful as we can with these kids because we don't want anybody hurt.
And that aspect brings trust into the process, too.
Yes, definitely. Definitely.
Very nice.
Definitely a big thing right there is they learn how to trust each other to help make their projects. So.
Nice. How about color?
Color, okay, so after you get some glass, I mean, there are hundreds of ways of coloring glass, but the most prominent one that we use is to roll it in what's called frit. Frit is crushed up glass. So we buy colors from a place out in Seattle called Olympic Color, and you pour it in like a metal bowl, and then you just get the glass hot, and you roll it in there, and if it's hot, it picks that color up. Mm-hmm. So colored glass comes in frit of different sizes, and it also comes in a powder form, and then it also comes in a bar form. And there are hundreds of ways that the Venetians and, you know, the Italians, they were just famous for creating all these different decorative techniques like latticino and
using fiori,
pate verre, and
sounds like pasta.
Oh yeah, I mean they did all kinds. Reticello is a decorative technique where you put two pieces together to create this pattern. And the stuff, there's a glass blower named Lino Tagliapietra. If you want to see some great glass, look him up on the web and see what he does. He's the maestro.
He's the
one. that Dale Chihuly convinced to come over to the United States back in the early 70s to go to a place, a glass school called Pilchuck, out in Stanwood, Washington, out by Seattle. And they built a school out there for glass. And Chihuly convinced Leno to come over to the United States and share his knowledge about glass. And that was a big turning point in the American glass art movement. That's when great. It all started.
That's great. Yeah. Gosh, because Washington State is a hotbed for glass.
Well, and you know where we have a direct link to that school, the Hawbergs. They're the ones that gave Chihuly. They had a tree farm out in Washington, and the Hawbergs from Rock Island gave the land to Chihuly to build this glass school on.
Sweet.
So they're directly involved with Pilchuck.
Nice, nice, marvelous. We're speaking with Joel Reiser and Logan Reiser. We're talking about Hot Glass. It's a new place. Well, actually, not new anymore. You've been open since July of last year?
No, this year.
So it's been just a couple of months.
Four months.
That's great. I'm sorry I couldn't get you on earlier, but it just works out. And
it's always good to be on.
It's always good to be on.
Now we have a little experience in the shop.
Yeah, that's true. And the place is up and running.
Right.
So you have the glass. You dip it in this honey. You blow it. You add more honey. You add more color to it. Mm-hmm. You form it with newspaper or a paddle. What else goes? When do you finish?
After we get the color on, we have to burn it back in and make sure that there's a smooth texture, because we're going to add glass or another gather on top of that. So we need to make sure to check the bubble and make sure that the second gather has been smoothed out so that we're ready to prepare to get another gather so we don't get bubbles and any other trouble that way. Go back into the furnace, get another gather in, back into the sun. And then the last gather is definitely what you're going to be immersed in. It's so much glass, and that's when you're really rolling. That's when the team is there on any second and can turn on a dime to help you out. You have someone turning on the side. That's why we have another student communicate with the head gaffer. And we also have another person to the right that will paddle them, and that'll have a paddle be between the glass and their arm to make sure that the heat isn't too overwhelming. Then we'll take it and make sure to blow out the vessel to the thickness that we want and start to shape and set up whatever form or if they would like to make a vase, a bowl, or any other type of vessel, we'll set that up to the point that we'll do the punny exchange. And when it comes to the punny exchange, it's definitely one of the little bit more difficult parts of the process. We go in with a solid metal rod back into the furnace, get a bit of glass, and attach it to the blown vessel. And then what we'll do is
other side.
Yes. Yep.
Why do you do that?
So we can break it off the blowpipe, and then we'll have the open.
Oh, that's
we'll have
the
open vessel that we
then.
Can start
so
to shape.
So you open it up
so
the other way.
Think about the shape of a light bulb. It's usually what it starts at. So it's attached to the blowpipe, and you blow it out, and it's the shape of a light bulb. So then, after you've got the shape blown out, you take the solid punny rod that Logan was talking about with a little bit of glass, stick it on the end of the light bulb, the glass part. So then what we do is we make a constriction right there where the blowpipe is with what's called jacks, where we create a little line there. We'll put a little water on that line, and it'll crack and it'll break off.
Ah.
So now it's stuck to that solid rod, but it's open on the end.
There you go.
And so
you
then
can
now
open it
we
up.
Can go
yeah.
back in, and then
Platters.
We can heat up
the lip and
end, and we can open it up, manipulate that to create different things like cylinders or bowls.
Nice.
Definitely one of the coolest things. If we take the jacks and actually open up the piece a considerable amount, we can go back into the reheating furnace and get it as hot as we possibly can and start to spin it while it's inside of the reheating furnace, which, mind you, is around 2,500 degrees. We can actually make it flat that way and continue to spin it after we take it out of the furnace when it's molten hot, and it'll just go totally flat with centrifugal force. And then from there, you can keep it flat as a platter, or you can turn it upside down and let gravity make flutes or ruffles in the bowl, and that is a really cool decorative technique.
And that's one of the techniques that Chihuly made famous with his... He has two series that he does it with. One's called the Machia series, and the other one was a Persian series. And so if you look at Chihuly's website, you'll see his Machia and his Persians. And they spin them out, and they just real nice. The thing is, and his attitude I like, is when you blow glass, it, you know, I guess a lot of people like to control it a lot, but some people like to blow kind of loose, you know, and so you're blowing breath in there, you're using gravity, you're using force, you're letting stuff happen. So it's more of a natural way to make things, right? Things get more natural looking. Some artists really want to have control and make perfectly symmetrical vases and so forth. But Chihuly's concepts were really loose and free form. And so he thought, you know, you just use breath and heat and let it go.
A lot of expression throughout these pieces. Nice.
And so I enjoy working like that.
I can sense your passion for this medium. Yeah. It's great. Oh, and then you.
It's intense, you know, and that's the other thing the kids like about it, the intensity of it. Because you work and work and work, and you're working for like 45 minutes all together. And finally, when you get it done, it's like, wow, that was cool. Can we do it again?
Uh-huh,
and then you give high fives all the way.
A lot of high fives, a lot of positivity.
You know, that's great.
And it's like a big sense of accomplishment.
Yeah.
Especially working with that glass too, it gives the students almost even makes them communicate, makes them have these leadership skills and this teamwork, because you're dealing with molten lava inches away from your body. And with this medium, there's just nothing else like the experience and the collaboration that goes behind the team building and the teamwork.
Mm-hmm. I saw kind of a refrigerator that you took the hot glass and you stuck it in there. You took it with this.
It's kind of opposite of a refrigerator. It's called an oven. We just started with 2,000 degree glass. We've been heating it up and cooling it, heating it and cooling it. We're generating a lot of stress in that glass, a lot of, you know, stress within that vessel. Well, if we don't let that cool very slowly, the thermal shock of it cooling will just, it'll break, it'll blow up. We've had pieces just sit there and you, boom, blow up. So we keep that oven, it's called an annealing oven. We keep that oven at 920 degrees. So when we finish a piece, we open that up, put it in there, and then when we're done working, we have a computer cycle on our controllers that it will cool slowly overnight to take that stress out of the glass.
Nice.
So it doesn't blow up.
Nice, like coming up from underwater, you can't come up too fast.
Right.
Same kind of thing. Fascinating, what a great, great medium you're working in. And the colors and the forms.
Yeah. I used to do a lot of clay. And I've
Clay's
you know,
nice.
Yeah, clay's nice, you can touch it, but you can't get the color you get with glass.
Low fire?
And you can't do transparent stuff like you do with glass. And you have to, you know how it is with clay. You got to let it dry up before you put it together. You got to let it dry and fire it. You got to glaze it, and you got to fire it again. With glass, we're done in an hour. The next morning we take it out, it's done.
And that makes it really ideal to work with students that way.
Sure.
So we can get the process going.
Yeah, it's fast.
It's fast and it's intense and we love it.
That's great. Well, we've been speaking with Joel Reiser and his son, Logan Reiser. They have the hot glass place, hot glass something.
Hot glass ink.
Ink, there we go, yeah.
Hot glass for short.
Yeah, hot glass. And you can look them up, hotglassart.org. Marvelous place. Let's take another break right now, and we'll be right back after this gallery guide.
On exhibit around the WVIK listening area, at the Geneseo Art League Gallery at 107 South State Street in Geneseo, The Wood Art Show, works by Jim Dayton, Bob Benson, Carl Smith, and Warren Hadley. Hours are 11 to 5, Wednesday through Saturday. At Smith Studio and Gallery at 124 South State Street in Geneseo, works by David Smith, Colleen Curry, and other featured artists. Hours are Tuesdays and Thursdays from 10 to 9 p.m., Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday from 10 to 5. At the Renee Gray Gallery at 101 South Cody Road in LeClaire through October 26th, Waterscapes, Monotypes by Jackie Olson. Hours are 11 to 5 every day except Sunday. At Roz Talks at 2108 3rd Avenue in Rock Island, on continuing exhibit, Object Permanence, works by 20 local artists. Hours are 11 to 1 a.m. Tuesdays through Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 11 p.m. on Sunday. At the Galesburg Civic Arts Center at 114 East Main Street in Galesburg through October 18th, works by Joyce and Jeffrey Gellick. Hours are Tuesday through Friday from 10:30 to 4:30, Saturday from 10:30 to 3. At the Bucktown Center for the Arts on the Square in Monmouth through October 25th, Security Savings Bank Photo Competition. Hours are 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, Saturdays from 10 to 2. at the Muscatine Art Center at 1314 Mulberry Avenue, Muscatine, through January 25th, Railroads of Muscatine County. Hours are Tuesday through Friday from 10 to 5, Thursday evening 7 to 9, Saturdays and Sundays 1 to 5. At the Dubuque Museum of Art at 701 Locust Street in Dubuque through October 19th, Modern Landscapes, paintings by Grant William Thigh. Through the end of November, Homage to the Tall Grass Prairie, watercolors by George Olson. Hours are Tuesdays through Fridays from 10 to 5, Saturdays and Sundays from 1 to 4. At the Cedar Rapids Museum of Art at 410 3rd Avenue in Cedar Rapids through November 2nd, Marvin Cohn on My Mind, The Ceramics of Dean Schwartz. On continuing exhibit, Art in Roman Life, Grant Wood in Focus, and Maurizio Lazansky, Master Printmaker. Hours are Tuesday through Saturday from 10 to 4, Thursdays 10 a.m. to 8 p.m., Sundays noon to 4. And that's a look at current exhibits around the WVIK listening area.
Back on Art Talks, Joel Reiser and his son Logan Reiser are with us. The two of them together have made hotglassart.org, a marvelous place down on Western Avenue, 104 Western Avenue. Actually, you have to go behind 104 Western Avenue. It's the alley behind the Davenport Printing Company. Beautiful setup, wonderful studio, brand new, marvelous, shiny, gorgeous equipment. It's like you don't want to dent it. You know, it's just so nice. Joel, we've been talking about how this wonderful story about how all these doors opened for you and 15 different grants and all these people who are doing money and building things for you and all of your contacts from your years of teaching and football have come back to you. And your son adding his entrepreneurial spirit to it. And then we talked about the actual process of making glass and the teamwork involved and who your audience is and all these different young artists and young people coming into it. And then the crews that you've got there teaching too. Who are your heroes in glass? Who who's your Vince Lombardi? You
know? Right, right. Well, it was definitely, you know, as a student growing up, one of my art teachers was my football coach in junior
kind
high.
Of like
so
you.
That was kind of a really big inspiration to me, and I had some great influences through high school. But in college, I met a guy from the Midwest that was teaching out at Eastern Oregon University, where I graduated from. He was my pottery and glass teacher named Tom Diamond, and he was a great inspiration to me. He worked with Chihuly and all those guys, worked with Harvey Littleton, the father of the American glass movement, took classes from him in Wisconsin when they started the whole thing. So it was a great inspiration and great experience for me to learn from Tom Diamond. Well, you know, after I got out of college in Oregon, I came back to Illinois and got married and started my career teaching. Then, as we talked about earlier, I retired from coaching and hooked up with Mark Fowler here locally. And Mark has great experience. I mean, he's a wonderful glass artist, and he really opened up a lot of doors. And I met a lot of great people down there with him. Met a guy named Adrian English, who's a big part of our organization right now. He owns Glass Heritage, a stained glass restoration company locally. And Adrian has immense knowledge on production glass and so forth. So he's been really doing a lot. But a couple things that happened to me that have kind of rolled out was 1 year at the SOFA show, that's Sculptural Objects and Functional Art in Chicago at Navy Pier. I ran into this artist that Mark Fowler told me about. His name is Stephen Rolf Powell. He's a wonderful glass artist. And I was standing there in a display, and Stephen was standing there, and I walked up to him, and I said, "Are you Stephen Powell?" And he says, "Yeah." I said, "Wow, I wanted to meet you. And my friend Mark Fowler gave me this video, Zoni, and I really love your work and everything." He says, "You know what?" He says, and I told him I was a coach and a teacher. He said, "Yeah, I used to be a coach and teacher too before I started teaching college." And we just hit it off. And he says, "I'm going to send you some more videos." So he sent me a really nice letter, sent me some videos to share with my students. What a wonderful experience that was. So recently, I talked to him and I emailed him and said, "Hey, we're starting this glass shop. You know, what do you think? You got any advice for me?" And we went back and forth and so forth. And I ended up seeing him at SOFA again. Mm. And we actually take an entire group of kids from Moline High School to SOFA every year. And he sat there and spoke to my whole group.
And it was just absolutely crazy. On the bus ride up, we're watching a video of this famous glass artist who is just awesome. And he's making these huge vessels called screamers. There's classic rock blaring in the background. And every one of these students has attention in the bus looking at this video. And then the scene at the end of our trip, seeing Stephen talk to the whole group, you'd see the light in a lot of these students' eyes of just seeing an eye-opening experience to actually have, you know, that much of a coincidence and be able to meet a famous artist. And it was absolutely amazing.
Yes. Wow. What a great experience.
Right. And then
how did you get up there? I mean, did somebody,
at that point, you know, the kids were just paying for their own tickets. But recently, another stroke of good luck is one of my patrons, Joan Baxt, and her daughter, Jennifer Shermer, is on our board. Joan is the past president of the Glass Arts Alliance. She has one of the biggest glass art collections in the world. Mm. And so she was here in the Quad Cities this last summer, and she came to visit the shop because she's helped donate to the shop. And she says, "Well, you know, I know those people at SOFA. I think I can get you free tickets." So this year, all the students are going to get to go free because Joan Baxt. So that was really neat.
Sweet. Gosh.
You know, and another thing happened that was really neat was back when we were building the place last winter, I was online watching videos from the Glass Art Society, and I watched this video by a guy named Alex Stisser. Now, then at the end, they talked about how he lived on a farm in Galva, Illinois. Now, that's only about an hour away from here. So I looked him up. I found him on the internet, and I got his email address, and I said, "Hey, Alex, if you're ever in town, I sure would like to show you what we're doing." Well, wouldn't you know, one night we're over there painting while we're building this place, knock on the door, there's Alex Stisser. He used to be the head designer and gaffer at the Museum of Glass in Tacoma, Washington. He worked with all the biggest names, Chihuly, Lino, Dante Marioni, all those names, and he's in our shop. And so he comes in and we start talking. He says, "Yeah, if I can do anything to help you out, you know." And that's the thing about the glass community. They always want to help each other. It's really a neat thing. You know, you don't get a lot of maybe, I don't know if you get a lot of painters, Bruce, that want to show you their tricks. But the glass artists, "Hey, I'll show you how to do that." You know, and they want to share.
It's a huge family.
Yeah, it is.
Why is that?
Well, it's because it's a team sport. You know, you got to have help to do it, you know, and so, I mean, without people sharing and helping, you're not going to be able to make those big pieces or those complicated things.
Right.
So we had a party in July, and Alex came and did a demonstration, and it was just awesome. I mean, that place was packed, and he was doing a beautiful piece of artwork, and we were so fortunate to have him there. It was just amazing.
What happened to the beautiful piece of artwork?
I actually have it. We're trying to finish the bottom properly, and we are going to auction that piece of glass off in support of our programming. So I will post that on my website, but this piece is a pretty valuable piece of glass, and we would love to have someone that appreciates glass purchase that in support of our program.
Gosh, all these names, all these forces, all these doors, all these contacts.
Sometimes I have to pinch myself because it's happening pretty good.
Yeah, you're retiring when?
Yeah, I have five more years of teaching, so that's all right.
But you're not coaching anymore.
No, I'm coaching kids, though.
You're coaching kids. Yeah, it's a different kind of coaching.
Yeah.
Well, marvelous. Hotglassart.org. Let's talk about the teaching aspect of it. You're teaching anybody who walks in. You have classes.
Right. Oh yeah, we've done couples classes where the husband and wife come in and they want to do something fun together. And so they come in and we show, I demonstrate a piece, and then we help them make a piece each. Hmm. We've done classes where we did a team building event for Guardian Glass. They brought 11 employees in, and we did a demonstration, and then they helped each other make a piece each. Spent the whole morning there. And we've done several, we've worked with 36 students so far. From the area with different kinds of classes, the at-risk kids. Anywhere from, we've got some granting from the Have Life Foundation. We've got granting from Quad City Arts. And we recently just got a grant from the Iowa Arts Council, which is going to help fund at least 48 more students.
Hmm. You're writing the grants?
Yeah, and I'm getting the help from some local folks. Uh-huh. But I'm spearheading it. So they're cleaning up my mess, put it that way.
Interesting. So you've got classes, but classes aren't going to pay for all of your expenses.
Right. And so one of the things that we're doing is the glass team concept, where right now we're blowing the pumpkins. And we have really done well with our glass pumpkins. It's unbelievable. The first day we went to the farmer's market, we took, I think, 75 pumpkins. We sold 68 of them. Mm. And the people around us were going, man, you're busy. Mm. You know, and it was just great. So the next week we went, we sold another 58. And then we took a week off because we needed to make more. So last week we sold over 50 again. And so we've been doing really well with the glass pumpkins. We've also got a commission from Blackhawk State Bank recently to do 550 Christmas ornaments that they're going to give out to their customers. Mm-hmm. So our glass team is open to take on commissions for companies or individuals. We'll do a piece for your boardroom. We'll do a piece for your lobby. We'll do gifts for, let's say, Employee of the Month. Let's say we do gifts for your clients that you really cherish. So we want to do, you know, there's only so much where I want to say, hey, can I have a donation? I would rather put kids to work in our shop, learning how to blow glass, making artwork and selling it as on commission to organizations and companies, even nonprofits, give out awards to their people. Let us do it for you.
Help and build then, the students' work ethic.
Right. And it helps the students understand, hey, if we come in and make this stuff, we're going to sell it, and we're going to be able to pay the bill at the end.
Interesting. Joe, before we came on, you were talking about your hand and you know, the football injuries and getting hit.
Right.
So but you're not making any art yourself, are you?
Well, yeah, I still do it a little bit. I try. You know, I get a lot of help. You know, if I can't roll the pipe, I have uh-huh. Logan roll it for me. You know, I mean, I can still be the gaffer. I just can't be quite as physical as I've been in the past.
Okay.
But I'm not giving. I work too hard for this, Bruce. I'm not going to give up making
sure,
it.
Sure, yeah. You're not going to give up being on the field. Because I think there comes a point in every artist's life where they're teaching other artists. They're teaching others to be artists. And everything you're doing, I mean, your shop is a work of art.
Right,
it is. In itself. And so even though you may not be blowing a lot of glass, you're still making art in everything you're doing.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to blow glass. I'm just going to learn how to do more delicate work, like goblets and stuff. I'm not going to do the big pieces like Logan wants to do. Logan loves to blow big.
I mean, if there's anything I've learned, he's an unstoppable force.
I would agree. He's got that clear energy. You mentioned earlier about Moline, the empty bowls.
Right.
You want to talk about that?
Yeah, we've got the student hunger drive going on right now. All the Quad City high schools are doing that. And Moline High School does an event called the Empty Bowl Project, where we have community members and students create bowls made of clay or glass, and they donate them to the cause. So if you come to Moline High School on October 22nd, you can come in and make a donation, $5 for a student, $10 for an adult, or $15 for a whole family. Come in and you can pick out a bowl to keep.
A ceramic bowl, a glass bowl?
Ceramic or glass. I'm going to donate a bunch of glass ones.
Golly.
And then a lot of them are ceramic. And then you go into our cafeteria and you can sample soup and bread from 20 restaurants in the Quad Cities. Mm. We have some of the biggest restaurants. I hate to start saying names because I won't be able to remember all of them, but there are some great restaurants. We'll have over 100 gallons of soup.
Mm. And then another event that's coming up for the Glass Shop, we have our first annual Pumpkin Bash coming up on October 25th, this Saturday. A week from this Saturday, and we're going to have hundreds of blown glass pumpkins, beverages and entertainment. We'll actually be performing how to make blown glass pumpkins and demonstrating and whatnot. And these events, these scenarios have been a lot of fun in the past.
Yeah.
Where do you park?
You can park right across the street at Modern Woodman Ballpark parking lot. Modern Woodman Ballpark, right across the street. It's a huge parking lot.
And they can take the light across and you're there.
Yeah, we're literally right across the street.
You're like third base. It's like you follow third base. Right, you run right into you, but you're right behind that the Davenport printing building.
Right off the loading dock. Yeah, you'll see us. The big red door.
Little alley there coming through. Gosh, Joel, this is just marvelous. I'm so proud of you. I'm so happy for you. I think this is just a terrific thing you're doing, and how many lives you're affecting through your art. You're teaching life skills. You're teaching character through the medium of glass.
I owe a big debt of thanks though to all the people that helped, because without them it wouldn't have happened. So I couldn't do it by myself, I appreciate all of the people that have donated.
Very interesting. Very, very interesting. Huh. In all of your years of teaching, have you come up with any tips or techniques or tricks that you do? Do you lead by example? How do you inspire people?
As a teacher, I make sure that I can make stuff to excite students and to inspire them. But the one thing that I always talk to them about when I have them in my classes is their effort. If they put the effort in, it's not all about the finished product. It's the road you take to get there. Because in glass or clay, it might break. And so, but the act of doing the art is the most important thing. Whether it turns out or not is not the most important part. One of my favorite artists, a guy named Don Wrights, and he just passed away. He's a potter, and he's one of the most famous pottery artists in the world. And I got to see him do workshops a couple of times, and I had him write me an autograph one time. And he put down, he says, it's the road. That's what it's all about. The road that you take is what it's all about. It's all about the process and the road you do to get there. It's not the finished project, because you can make another finished project, but it's how did you get there and what did you do? What did you learn while you were doing it?
About the experience.
Right, right.
But don't you want to get a touchdown? Don't want to
keep... We like touchdowns too.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, with all that coaching stuff and all the stuff we did with athletics, you had to be pretty gifted to be the starting quarterback, but you know what? You don't have to be a gifted athlete to win in glass. You don't have to be a gifted athlete to win in pottery or in art. You just have to be willing to put the work in.
Excellent. Which leads us right into our final question. What advice do you have for young entrepreneurs, and what advice do you have for young artists, Joel?
I'd say number one for entrepreneurs, you have to dream big. Don't have a plan, just do it. Have a sickening work ethic, and above all, have faith and believe in what you're doing.
Nice.
Yeah. I think with art, again, I'm going to go back to just, worry about doing art, I mean, my teacher in college, whenever he'd sign your pictures and he'd just say, do art.
Do art.
Yeah, do art. Be part of it. It's not whether or not you're the best. Because everybody, it's all, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. So, do art.
Very good. Terrific hour. Joel Reiser and his son Logan Reiser, hotglassarts.org, right downtown Davenport. Marvelous place. That's it for us today on Art Talks. Many thanks to our guests. Many thanks to our audio engineer, that maestro of sound, Dave Garner. As always, I'm Bruce Carter. Until next week, have a great night and a fine tomorrow. See you soon, Laura.
Support for Art Talks comes from the Blue Cat Brew Pub, located in the district of Rock Island, serving food and handcrafted ales and lagers. And from the Bucktown Center for the Arts at 225 East 2nd Street in downtown Davenport, with 16 independent studios and galleries offering original fine art and gift ideas in one location. Information is at bucktownarts.com.